And a very good morning to you. Welcome to it. This is Today. I am Keno Cummings with you all the way through until midday. So we've got about 12 minutes to have a chat to Charissa Bloomberg, a psychologist, and especially looking at the mental well-being, your mental well-being when being stuck inside for so long. And I just once again want to say that it's really, I've listened to Professor Jonathan Jansen, who said, you know, just basically pass everybody and let's find a more workable solution for next year. Versus the education departments that are going, no, 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 we're going to finish this year. We're going to finish it. But not all things are equal. Some people live in abject poverty, don't have access to data, so how the heck are they going to play catch up? Then you have the teachers at home who've got to look after their kids. So there's all these things that weigh down on you. And you're still expecting young people, learners, to come out tops. I mean, I think it's really crazy. I would stick with what Professor Jonathan Jansen had to say. And, you know, I think a lot of our young people probably need the rest of the year off. It's probably not a bad thing. But we are chatting to Charissa Bloomberg, psychologist. Good to have you on the show, Charissa.
Thank you so much, Keno. It's great to be here, pretty under such circumstances.
Yeah, I know, I know. And it's, and you know, and I said this the last time we spoke to the Society of Psychiatrists. We talk about, you know, mental challenges, and we talk about people, and we always think about people who in our minds, need to be put in a straitjacket and sent to hospital, which is such an unfair way of looking at, you know, some of the mental challenges that we're going to face. Mental well-being affects everybody and could be affecting the person who smiles, who goes to work, who does what they do on a daily basis. Maybe they're essential services workers. You see the smile, but you never know what is happening deep inside.
Keno, exactly. And by the way, I heard that in a brilliant talk with Professor Jonathan Jansen. Our kids are traumatized. But yes, we don't know what's going on. And at this point, you know what I'm saddened about? We always talk about, in a crisis, about the physical issues. We all wash your hands. These are the rules. These are the regulations. This is what's happening. Yes, that's crucial. I'm not undermining it. But goodness, we need our people to have resilience. We need to preserve their mental health at home. And not enough is being said about how to do that. And I think by now we are all in a state of we've passed panic, you know. We are in a state of, what next? What's happening? How do we problem solve? So we need to have resilience. We need to build our coping skills. We need to build our mental strength. And these are big words. And how do we do it? So yeah. I'd love to share some tips. But really crucial, I think we're all at the point like, okay, I'm over it. It's enough. What next?
Yeah.
And there's a huge increase in mental health issues, in anxiety, in depression. And I hate to say this. I don't want to be right on this. I think some suicide as well because of the helplessness and hopelessness as well.
Yeah.
And I'm concerned, Keno. I really, really am.
And it's so true. Hey, government's been waxing lyrical about all this other stuff, but mental well-being. Let's just, for example, talk about cigarettes and alcohol being banned, right?
Yes.
On the one hand, there are people who can go without a whiskey. Because now, you know, for two more weeks, ugh, it's fine. I'm not going to have the whiskey. But some people are dependent on it. Some people are dependent on their cigarettes. And this could also have a profound effect on them mentally.
Absolutely, and exactly as you say that. And then there's withdrawal symptoms. There's those who are having withdrawal symptoms from the alcohol, from the tobacco. We can't get it. We can't have it. And they're taking their frustration out. And, of course, who are they taking it out on? The people closest to them. So, of course, we've had escalated gender-based violence, abuse at home, abuse to animals, taking the frustration out. Horrific things happening because they can't have access to it. So that's also impacting on mental health issues because so many people, when they're stressed, you know, in different ranges, have a little drink, have a little smoke. It helps. But now what? They're left kind of stranded. I'm not talking about the wealthier ones who've been able to stock up. I'm talking about, you know, all other aspects of life. And that's very worrying of how we're dealing with that, as well as our children, as well as the parents at home, coping and homeschooling and screaming kids and trying to do work and trying to think of where's the future going. And so all of these people need skills, and I'm really concerned we're not doing enough, Keno. Really, I am.
What are those skills that we need to be equipping ourselves with, you know?
Okay.
Yep.
Yes. Sorry.
No, go for it. Go, you can tell us. I'm very keen to know.
All right. So firstly, I want us to know, and I've spoken about this a few times, so forgive me for saying it again. We're all in some stage of loss. We've passed denial now. There's anger. We are in some part of depression as well. So let's just know what stage we're in. And I know that I get into the angry stage. It's like, all right, I've done everything good. I want to get out. You know, we all talk about what we're missing. Know what stage you're in. And know if you're in an anger stage and your partner's in a depressive stage, know where you're in. Mm. But you know, the most crucial thing I want to share in a short time is emotional intelligence and our thoughts. Emotional intelligence, you don't need any degree or diploma to have. It's how you manage your own and other people's emotions. It's how flexible you are. How do you solve problems? How do you manage your stress? That is crucial. But you know, the bottom line to all of this, Kino, is our thoughts. We have to start tuning into those thoughts to make us victim mode. Oh, I can't. I don't know what I'm going to do. Everything's this. We've got to start looking at the thoughts because they impact on how we feel and they impact on what we do. So that's critical. We have to start reframing those thoughts because half the time, Kino, they're unconscious. I don't know. There's no hope. I've had enough. Well, we've got to look at that. And yes, it's okay to be a victim for a while. Let's be depressed. Let's hang out and let's like mope for a while. Mm. But there comes a point that has to stop and we have to. Now we have no choice. How do we rebuild?
But you need cope. You see, to tell people to reshape the way they think or rework the way they think is good in theory. But how do you practically do that? How, you know, what are some of the skills you will need in order to do that?
Very simple, but it takes a while to do. Mm. Start listening to your thoughts.
Ah.
I'm sitting here before a show. Oh, what am I going to say? How am I going to do it? What am I going to say? Oh, I think I'll make something to eat. I've got 86-year-old mom here. Will she keep quiet? Will she barge in? Oh, you know, start. Seriously, Kina, let's start listening. These thoughts come unconsciously. Yeah. Start practicing what we are telling ourselves. Mm. That is crucial because that belief system is going to be the basis for everything. And reach out. There are amazing organizations, you know, SADAC, the South African Depression for Anxiety. Reach out to organizations, reach out to people, reach out to your neighbor. I don't want to see people being depressed alone because you can sink into a deep black hole with these thoughts.
And how about doing things that make you happy, make you feel good? Now, I mean, you have to be careful about that because, you know, maybe eating lots of pasta makes you feel good, but it's got its upsides, but also its downsides. But I'm talking about constructive things.
Oh, I get excited to talk about this because that's exactly right, Kina. We've spoken about this so many times, self-care. Do what brings you joy. No, you can't run around the block, and unfortunately, and I'm totally against this, you can't walk your dog either. But you can put music on, you can dance in the kitchen, you can look out of your window and see the birds having a lovely day, you can look at the weather, you can do things that's going to make your heart sing, you can stroke your animal if you've got one at home. Self-care, eat enough, exercise, you know, we've spoken about that. Read a book, do a course. But you've got to do something that's going to distract the mind. And you know what else, Kino? Read inspirational books of people who've survived. You know, my favorite, The Pursuit of Happiness. Read about people who've been homeless and have gone on to build empires. Let's be inspired by other people's journeys as well.
No, I think that is important. And I know that, you know, kids at home sit and watching documentaries and things that they're interested in. And I sometimes allow, you know, Dad, but I can't do the schoolwork right now. Because if you look at our CAPS curriculum and what that drivel they feed our kids, a lot of it doesn't make sense. Just chatting to Chantal Ilbrey about that. We need to give kids tools to take them forward in the future. I say, you know, just leave it and just concentrate on that documentary that you like. Because, you know, you need to be